Hello, and welcome to Stronger Together,
a podcast about strength, wellness, and navigating the hard things.
I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're yoga and mindfulness instructors who know that the path to wellness isn't easy.
And it's even harder without community.
We're here to offer real conversations,
raw and honest moments,
and to remind you that you're never alone.
So make yourself comfy.
And let's do it.
Because we are all stronger together. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Have you ever thought about the idea of what it means to be a good friend to yourself? Well, that's what we're talking about today on the podcast. But before we get started, let's take a deep breath together. Inhale. Exhale. Hey, Char.
Hello, my friend.
How are you?
I'm feeling good and ready to talk about this interesting topic.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I was like really looking forward to talking about this with you. And then as soon as I put it out there, you were like, let's do it.
Oh yeah, it just felt right. It's a really powerful topic that can resonate with so many different people.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the why behind it. If you've ever taken yoga class with me, you've definitely heard one or many Pink songs on my playlist. I love her. I saw her open like a million years ago for Lenny Kravitz before she was even like a really big artist. And now Pink is just like, she's huge. And she recently was awarded the Icon Award through iHeartRadio.
Mm.
And in her acceptance speech, she thanked her family and friends. And she talked about how she's embracing vulnerability. But when she started her speech, she said something that I thought was just so incredible. It literally like stopped me in my tracks. And you know, whenever that happens, I have to bring it to the podcast.
Of course.
And she said, I'm going to quote her directly. She said, "I usually do try to joke or be self-deprecating in these moments, but I want to be a better friend to myself tonight. So I would like to try and say something honest." And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to be a better friend to myself. That's amazing.
It is. And it feels like she's almost holding up a mirror to the audience being like, who else needs to be a better friend to themselves?
Like, let's do this together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I love that she's embracing her own vulnerability. And she's saying like, I'm not always a great friend to myself. And one of the ways that we do that, and we've talked about minimizing emotions for other people, right, in previous episodes, but I think is by minimizing our own experiences and our own struggles and things like that. And we do it through, we mask through sarcasm and through jokes and through that self-deprecating humor that Pink mentioned. And so often we talk to ourselves in a way that we would not speak to a loved one.
Yeah. And especially in those moments where, like, could you imagine being on stage accepting this award? How vulnerable you feel.
Right.
Like, yeah. You're there to literally talk about your accomplishments. And we get so uncomfortable talking about our accomplishments and talking about the good things about ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think there's a deep reason why, which we'll get into a little bit later in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, to be called an icon, like, yeah, that's really cool and amazing and super uplifting. But it can also be like, oh my gosh, like all these people think that I'm iconic.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's young to receive this award. And I think it's super deserving. But I think that her transparency in many ways over the years and how she shares so readily her experiences and her struggles and her tenacity in overcoming those struggles is an amazing thing for people to witness. And for her to say that, like, you know, it implies that there was a moment of recognition in her that she wasn't being a friend to herself, right? She wasn't being a good friend to herself. So like, what does that look like? Because I think we've all been in an experience where we can probably connect to that.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about ways that people really aren't friends to themselves.
Yeah.
And I think one of the ones that so many of us can identify with is when we look at ourselves in the mirror, it's critiquing our physical appearance, our physical appearance, and our eyes going to the places on our body that we don't necessarily like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that inner narrative, what it says can be wicked.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
speaking from experience.
Yes. Yeah. Just over and over obsesses. And how can I look better? Why do I even look like this? It's nasty.
Mm-hmm. I know for me, I love giving compliments. It's like something that I try to do on a regular basis. I try to really share, you know, toward other people that what I think and being honest and true. And
yeah.
But it has taken me a long time to be able to receive a compliment. I don't even know if I'm still, I can't even say that I'm still skilled in it.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you identify, like, even just thinking about receiving a compliment, like, can you identify any feeling that comes with that?
I think it probably stems back from something perhaps in childhood where you hear like, you know, don't be conceited or don't be stuck up. Right. And then that often goes along with perhaps like a moment where you were tooting your own horn or a moment where you were feeling like proud of your accomplishments and maybe you were kind of self-gushing a little bit.
Yeah.
So then I really think it's a bit of an inner child wound, right? When we struggle to feel worthy enough of that compliment.
Yeah.
Or we feel that the right thing to do is to deflect that compliment. The right thing to do is go, oh no, or no, not me. And things like that. Or I think I've talked about this before in the podcast, like somebody compliments like something I'm wearing and I'm like, this is so old.
Yeah.
Why can't I just say thank you?
or like, I like your shoes. I like your shoes.
Yeah. These shoes. No, yours are better. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, it's okay to say, thank you so much. I received that compliment. And that's something that I've been really working on. Mm-hmm. I appreciate all you have to do is say, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And it makes the other person feel so much better when you receive it.
Yeah. But I think if we're talking about practicing being a good friend to ourselves, we could even take that to a deeper place, right? Like not only thanking the person for offering the compliment, but actually feeling those words, like feeling them within our being and actually maybe flipping it and agreeing with it and giving ourselves that compliment, right?
Like,
yeah, I actually am feeling really good today. I think I do look good today. Right?
That feels so foreign.
Right? I thought you were going to say that feels so good.
No, I mean, it sounds so good, but I'm just trying to picture like myself doing something like that. And I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. 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 It's like, I don't want people to think that I'm being boastful or things like that. Right. So it's like, and we've turned off that part in ourselves, if it even existed, because I know for some of our listeners, they're going to feel like, no, I don't ever feel like I'm worthy of a compliment, or I don't ever feel like I look good. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's okay to admit that. But if we're practicing being a good friend to ourselves, what could we do? What would we say to a loved one? We would absolutely say, you look beautiful today.
Right. And we would mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and also beauty is way more than just what you see in the mirror. Beauty is your soul. And I think so many times we don't even allow ourselves to be friends with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we don't even know who we are. You know, we don't even get to see that soul or get to experience that soul. So like, how can we feel beautiful if all we see and all we identify with is the physical?
Mm. And I think that when we do meet somebody that we're interested in, and this is, you know, this doesn't have to be a romantic interest. This can just be somebody you have something in common with, or a platonic, or somebody that, you want to be friends with, we take time, we take deliberate time, or maybe even dating. I haven't dated in a while, but you know, like I'm imagining that you take deliberate time to get to know that person, to form that relationship, to form that friendship, even as a colleague, like, especially for me, somebody who's a co-teacher, like I'm sharing space with somebody all the time. So like forming a deliberate relationship is important.
Yep.
But when do we take the time to really get to know ourselves? It's rare.
It is. Yeah. And I feel like the older and older we get, the less time we really have alone because we, you know, a lot of us decide to start a family and then we have work and then we're working 5 days a week. And then when you're not working, you're at home or you're with friends just to juggle it all. How often are we really just by ourselves?
Yeah. Quite infrequently, I think. Yeah. I mean, there are seasons where people have more alone time. Like I have moments now that, you know, I have an empty nest that I definitely have. So I can carve out alone time, but you know, sometimes it's like, it's just bearing witness to yourself. You don't even have to necessarily be alone. Like I think a place where I get to know myself really intimately is in yoga classes.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I'm practicing that deliberate awareness. I'm practicing paying attention and listening. It's why I cue that so often in my classes about paying attention and activating that intuitive teacher and listening to that inner voice, because that is where we get to know ourselves. Because honestly, let's think about it. one of the ways that we can notice that we are maybe not being the best friend to ourselves as possible is catching the negative narrative.
Yeah.
Right. So is catching that voice and being like, wait, hold up. Did I just make fun of myself?
Yeah. It's reminding me of your Dharma talk from yesterday's yoga class, when you were saying practice makes permanent, and what we continually tell ourselves in our mind, mm-hmm. it becomes what we actually believe.
Totally.
And so when we notice that, like, we're taking that step back as a witness and we're noticing like, oh, I'm very reactive to noises, or I'm very judgmental of myself when I look in the mirror. We're just getting to know our tendencies, our habits, and observing, like, are these habits serving us? Are they allowing us to be good friends to ourselves, or are they detracting from that?
Yeah. And I think when we notice those things, that's where we have to, like, turn on the self-compassion, mm-hmm. activate that self-love, and engage in that good friend-like behavior, right? Yeah. So if I notice that I'm feeling like I'm not enough, or I'm noticing that I'm feeling less than, whether I'm at work, in my relationships, maybe in my role as a parent or a friend, I have to catch that. Mm-hmm. And then I have to practice what we call in yoga, pratipaksha bhavana, or cognitive behavioral therapy, where I find the other thought, the opposite thought.
Yeah.
So if I'm noticing that, I have to really kind of breathe into that space and no, I am enough and I'm doing the best I can in this moment.
And even, you know, bringing that into the first example we had about how we might not be such good friends to ourselves. Like, mm-hmm. if we're looking in the mirror and all we're doing is going to those places that we don't like, how can we switch our eyes, or how can we move our eyes to maybe a point that we do like? And it's not saying that we love every part of ourselves, mm-hmm. but it's certainly giving less energy to the parts where we dislike and giving more energy to the parts of us that we actually like or love. Mm-hmm. And we know that when we put more time and attention and effort into building the parts of us that we love, we feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this reprogramming and repatterning, it takes time and mm-hmm. effort and deliberate practice. It's not the type of thing where if I am in this kind of self-deprecating, sarcastic tone with myself, it's not like I'm just going to wake up and just be this perfect, fantastic friend, which is literally why I think Pink shared that. Like, my go-to right now is to use humor and self-deprecate, but I'm deliberately telling the world that I'm not going to do that, right? Yeah. It's like, I'm making this declaration,
yeah.
perhaps holding herself accountable.
Yeah.
You know, for her own choices in that way.
Absolutely.
Like, if I'm making the choice to be a better friend to myself, I'm going to tell people so they can maybe help me, support me, be on the lookout for it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the conversation we had the other day about not wanting to declare certain things mm-hmm. because being scared that they're not going to come true. But her declaring this is showing that she's believing in herself.
Yes.
And I think that when you believe in yourself, that's like one of the key factors of being a good friend to yourself. It's showing that I have faith in who I am and what I can do.
I love that. You know, something I've been seeing a lot of online is things like this idea of feeling like you're too much, right? Like, you know, I actually said it to, it's so funny. Do you remember we were in the gym the other day and Russ said, I think we were talking about it after when Russ was helping me deadlift or something. And he was like, I forget how tiny you are, like petite, meaning like petite. And I was like, I know. I'm like, it's because I have such a big personality.
Yes.
Right. And then I was like, was I being unkind to myself? Because I was making it seem like it was too big, right? Like, am I too big? Am I too loud? Am I too much? Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of people being like, I'm not going to apologize for that anymore. I've always felt like I'm too much, or, you know, I don't want to be with somebody who makes me feel like I'm too much.
Yeah.
And I have not really like thought about that. You know, have I acknowledged that I'm too much of anything? Yeah, definitely at times. Right. But I think there are people who are realizing that they have been really dimming their own light. Like we're hearing things like that now in mainstream media, like don't dim your light to make other people comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think that that is a way of being a good friend to yourself. It's like allowing yourself to shine.
Yep.
And being proud of yourself and being proud of your accomplishments. Mm,
yeah, exactly. Because you're prioritizing yourself. You're putting yourself first. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, like, I hate that saying, but like at the end of the day, all we have is ourselves, you mm-hmm. know, like we're going to be living with ourselves until the last day that we're alive. And mm-hmm. why not take up the space given as our birthright. Why not celebrate the accomplishments that we have in this short period of time on this earth, in this body, with these people around us? Like, why not?
Yeah, I know. We're afraid. We're afraid to celebrate ourselves. Mm-hmm. And again, that can be like a self-worth thing, or that could be well, if I speak it into existence, then maybe it won't happen. Or like, you know, I'm jinxing it. I don't want to jinx it. Like, we hear things like that all the time. And it's like, no, I think we have to amp up the celebrations, and we have to amp up that excitement that we would have for another friend or for a loved one.
Absolutely.
Turn that inwardly.
I have this example that's like popping into my head right now. When I was working in HR, I used to lead meetings. I used to lead like these development workshops. And one of the icebreakers that I would do, I actually might've talked about this on the podcast before, but one of the icebreakers that I would do is have everybody go around and say one thing that they're proud of about themselves. If I had a room of 20 people, 19 of them started with, I'm not really proud of anything. Mm. Or I'm proud of my daughter. Like, she just got into this school. And I literally said, pause. Tell me something that you're proud of about yourself. Mm. And like, I literally made them. I was kind of rude. no, in a loving way. But I made them brag about themselves, because we never do that.
Right.
And the more that we share our accomplishments, the more we can connect with other people who might be at that same level. Like, say I accomplished something, say I wrote a book, and then I decided to talk about that because I'm proud of that, you know, that ability of me to write a book. Then I meet another author who's like, you know what, I actually wrote a book last year. And then you get to talk and get to know each other on this deeper level, with it being like based around pride and good vibes.
I feel like that, well, that's exactly what I was just going to say. Like, that's like an energetic lift.
Yes.
Right. Like, that's raising the frequency, raising mm-hmm. the vibration, so that we're all kind of vibrating in this higher place mm-hmm. instead of in those low vibrations, where that's where, you know, the hiding and the self-deprecating and the sarcasm and the feeling like we're not enough. Like, that's that lower mm-hmm. Those lower frequencies. It's like, we don't want to be down there.
Absolutely not.
We don't want to be stuck in the muck and in the heaviness.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that, I know you had mentioned that you think a lot of this feels like it comes from a fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's like rejection from others, or this like self-rejection type of thing?
I think a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. I think what comes to mind first is a fear of rejection from others. And that's really sad, because then again, we're putting our power into somebody else. We're putting our power and how we feel into the opinions of other people. But when we think about it, like, all of my friends have aspects that I'm sure that they don't love about themselves, because they're humans. Mm-hmm. And I would never reject them for any of that.
Right.
If you think about your group of friends, they're your friends because you accept them. You accept mm-hmm. them for who they are and all the parts of them. And if we could just practice that with ourselves, actually, yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, it probably is more fear of rejection from yourself.
Mm. Maybe it's situational, right? Yeah. It depends on those moments.
Yeah.
I also think it depends on our level of self-awareness, because we might think it's this fear of this outward rejection, where it truly is this fear of this inward, the self-rejection, and like, mm-hmm. Or the sense of abandoning who I am to make other people feel more comfortable.
Yeah, that gets deep. And then it's I am rejecting like my true self.
Right. And I think that happens every day.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was the core of Untamed by Glennon Doyle. Like mm-hmm. this idea of like not abandoning yourself to make others comfortable, like being trapped like the cheetah.
Yeah.
I've been saying a lot in my yoga classes, I don't know if you've picked up on it recently, but like, kind of in the beginning, I always try to teach from like a trauma-informed place, and like letting people know that, you know, this class is curated for you, but please like never abandon yourself and what feels right for you to make me happy.
Yes.
Like yep. I would never want somebody to do something that they know isn't right for their bodies mm-hmm. just because I cued it, or just because they think that's what I want them to do. Right. Yeah. So I've been like trying to be really deliberate with that. And I hope that feels good energetically for people who take my class, because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, we have to connect to that to that inner teacher and like let him and her boldly step forward and be like, no, this is what I need in this moment. And that to me feels like being a really good friend to myself.
Yeah, I agree. As a student, I definitely have heard you say that and it lands well with me. It's a nice reminder. As a teacher and a student, the yoga studio is a really great like petri dish for what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I know myself and I know watching other people, I've seen so many aspects of not being a good friend to yourself. Like in the beginning of yoga, when I thought yoga was more just like this fitness class, and it was more about the physical, it was more about the arm balances. If I was able to nail crow, woo, it was a great class. If I fell out of crow, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have come. This is awful. And like, I see it all the time with relatively new people taking yoga for the first time when they can't touch their toes or when they can't step their leg through for low lunge and they're looking all around. I can just see the comparison of them to the person next to them. And then the thoughts that just bring them down. Like, I know you and I try really hard to make the studio a space for people to experience that and then let it go. Mm-hmm. And let's accept ourselves as we are, because that is the practice.
Yeah.
It's not going to be perfect.
No. And I think the mat is an amazing place to like, it's like, I say it all the time. It's like a laboratory of self exploration. And it's like, this is the perfect place to, for 60 minutes, right? Within the four corners of your safe mat is to practice being a good friend to yourself. But let's say that you don't practice yoga and you're not able to come and take class with me and Shar. Actually, anybody could take class with us virtually.
Yes, you can.
But I digress. How can we practice ways, like simple, actionable items, how to be a better friend to ourselves? Because I think this is such a space to like elevate consciousness. Like this is not just like this has the potential to be so big.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like this energetic lifting around us.
I agree. I think the first one is compliment yourself. Bring attention to the parts of yourself that you love, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, spiritual, social, whatever parts of you that you love, bring them to the forefront, compliment them, feel them.
Okay, can I tell you something I've been doing recently? And it actually had nothing to do with this episode, but I've been trying it. Like, I start each day, like I love Louise Hay. I start each day when I wait, turn off my alarm and I say, today is a great day. Today's going to be a great day before I even get out of bed. So like, that's something that I've been doing. I have my morning rituals. I have my affirmations that I say while I'm getting ready. But something that I've been doing recently, I feel so vulnerable right now.
You are safe. Let's hear it.
Is after I get out of the shower, I look in the mirror and I go, okay, Leslie. I literally look in the mirror and I call myself by name. If you can see me right now, I am bright red.
I love that.
I am bright red. And I go, okay, Leslie, you got this. You're doing an amazing job. You're changing lives for, you are changing lives for kids. Mm-hmm. You are doing your best in this world. Mm-hmm. Like, and I literally like give myself like this, like now that I'm thinking about it, it's like this complimentary, but it's really like this, like hype, like I'm trying to like hype myself up, but like I'm also speaking these things into existence.
Yes, you're making it real.
I'm making it real, and I'm giving myself like this opportunity to compliment myself and to be a good friend to myself. And then listen, whatever happens, happens. Like if I lose my patience throughout the day, or I have a rough day, or I make a choice that I'm not so thrilled with at the end of the day, that's also where I have to, maybe I need to have a nighttime talk with myself.
Like a debrief.
All right, Les, let's talk about it. What did you do wrong today? No, but seriously, like just this idea of in an excited way, acknowledging what it is that I think I'm doing well and clearly saying that to myself. And allowing myself to kind of like connect to my goals or connected to just things, maybe connected to things I'm struggling with. I try not to overthink it. I just kind of like, and it's literally like 30 seconds to a minute, you know, like you're drying off with a towel anyway. Like, why don't you give it a try?
Try it too. I feel like anybody listening, like that's your challenge. You know, bring this in.
And it's powerful. It's really powerful. And I feel it. Like, I feel that, like, the energy lift. I feel that excitement. And I feel that like this is, I have the power to decide how I start my day. I can't control the traffic. I can't control other people on the road. There are many, many, many things throughout my day that I can't control, but I can control that moment when I'm alone in the bathroom in the morning, how I start my day.
Yeah. And you even just calling yourself by your name, like that puts you into the friend zone. Like that shows that you're looking at yourself as a person. And not just like, oh, this is me. Like you're looking at yourself as a person. You're addressing yourself as a friend.
Yeah.
And I really haven't addressed myself by name often, except for when I'm really sad. If I'm like hysterically crying, I'll look in the mirror and I'll be like, it's okay, Char. Like you got, aww. and I'll give myself like a little talk down. Yeah. And but that feels really good. That
feels like being a good friend to yourself.
Yes, it is. It's consoling.
Because a lot of times you're like, all right, get over it. Get out of bed. Mm-hmm. Stop crying. Whereas mm-hmm. that felt really tender when you said that.
Yeah, no, it's a great feeling. So I've only experienced that on like the sad end, but mm-hmm. I want to bring that in on like the let's go, like let's have a great day.
End. Yeah, let's go. And then maybe something we could practice at the end of the day is like that little like self-brag about your accomplishments, like what went well today. And a lot of times, like, I don't know if I talked about this on the pod. I think I talked about it in yoga about like process praise versus person praise. So did I talk about that here or with you?
No,
I don't
remember. In yoga.
Okay. So this was a professional development that I took at school. And, you know, it's all based on like research and the way that our brains take in information and, you know, and how we can grow our intelligence and, you know, very much in line with the growth mindset research, the Carol Dweck research. Yeah. But this was praise that makes learners more resilient. So if we look at ourselves as all lifelong learners, right? You don't have to be in a classroom to be a learner. So how can I make myself more resilient is by praising my process, mm-hmm. not the person.
Yeah.
So not necessarily like, you know, great job, LVB, but like you're a great person. You're a great teacher, right? Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. Things more like, I love the effort that you put in today when you were dealing with that struggling learner. Like that was really challenging and you stuck with it.
Yeah. That feels really cool. That's so subtle and so different.
Yeah.
But it feels really good.
Yeah. So like, that's a nice way I think to be a good friend to yourself is like, and listen, if talking in front of the mirror makes you feel like, ooh, these two are nuts, I'm telling you, it's really powerful. Mirror talk is a thing. Like it's real. But you could do this in your journal. Mm-hmm. You could like close your eyes and just like repeat it in your own mind and mm-hmm. have like that nice, quiet, intimate moment with yourself. But I think taking a moment to praise yourself mm-hmm. about your accomplishments, about your effort, mm-hmm. I think that's huge.
Yeah, I agree. And also sticking up for yourself.
Like a boundary. Like we talked about this yesterday, like a healthy boundary.
Exactly. Mm. Like I think that's one way that we maybe aren't such good friends to ourselves mm-hmm. is doing things that we don't necessarily want to do. Things that are crossing our boundaries just because we don't want to have the uncomfortable conversation or we don't want to make another person uncomfortable. But when we stick up for ourselves, like I'm thinking about it right now. I have a friend who I used to be vegan, and one time we ordered lunch and my salad came with chicken. And I was like, oh, like I'll just pick out all the chicken. She was like, no, you will not. She grabs the phone, she calls them, and she's like, I didn't ask for chicken. You put chicken in here. I'm vegan. Deliver me a new one. And she just boom, boom, boom. She made it happen. And I wouldn't do that for myself. Would I do it for her? Heck yes.
Yeah.
So it's just so interesting, like what we're willing to do for other people versus sticking up for ourselves.
Yeah. And really like the word that comes to mind is like self-advocacy.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm advocating for myself, that's a way that I can be a really good friend to myself.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And, you know, being unapologetic about what it is that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody crosses the line of something that makes you feel comfortable, then you advocate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you speak up.
Yeah, speak up.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think believing in our sense of self-worth is a hard one.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like maybe we start small. Maybe mm-hmm. we start like, you know, like this belief that I'm doing the best that I can.
Mm-hmm.
I start the year oftentimes. I ask my learners like, you know, early on in September, can you do better than your best? My co-teach and I always ask them this question. And it's so funny to see their look, their face, they're like, like, is this a trick question? And they're like, of course you can do better than your best. And then we just get like, we just wait. And then then one of them will go, wait, no, you can't do better than your best. It's your best. You can't do better than your best. So our lesson is you can't do better than your best, But with tools and with practice and with support, your best changes. So you can never be expected to do better than your best, but recognizing those moments when you have more tools in your life, or you're more self-reliant, or you are more resilient, then your best changes. So I think believing that you're doing the best that you can with what you have is a huge way. And acknowledging that is a great way of being a good friend to yourself.
That's so, that makes me feel so supported. Just like hearing you say that, it's, that's really cool.
So I think that, that's a really nice one. We're giving lots of options here, a Stronger Together community. We are all going to be best friends with ourselves. I love it.
I think that brings us to like the last one that we were going to offer is getting to know yourself. Yeah. So like what we were talking about before, how often can you really be a witness to yourself, be a friend to yourself, spend the time with yourself, whether you're alone or whether you're surrounded by people, but like in your, you're in your experience.
Did I ever tell you about that woman I follow? I think she's Australian. She's this amazing like body image influencer. Her first name is Brie, and I'm like forgetting her Instagram handle. Maybe we could put it in the show notes of we'll find it before we publish this episode. And every week she takes herself out on a solo date. And she documents it. And
that's awesome.
It is so inspiring and so sweet and so loving. And she is prioritizing her relationship with herself every single week. And she dresses up for herself. And she'll go to a special place and she'll order special food she'll do a picnic just for herself. Like it's really beautiful. And it is this beautiful lesson in like self-worth and getting to know yourself intimately and carving out time to be with yourself. I think that's an amazing way to be a good friend to yourself.
Oh yeah. And I'm just thinking about like the side effects of these solo dates, confidence, experiences.
Yeah.
You're going to meet new people because you're going to all these new places. Like what a great idea.
And she looks so joyful. Like she really does. Like, and to me, when I look at it, I think it's super genuine. Like it just feels like, I mean, I get, you know, we're doing stuff for the gram. I get it. But I feel like it just feels really inspiring and real. What I have yet to do, even though I follow her admiringly, is take myself on a solo date.
Well, there's your homework.
I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. I need to. I've always said, like, I want to take myself on a date to the movies. I want to take myself out to a date to a nice restaurant. I haven't done it yet, but
yeah. Well, it's a little bit vulnerable.
I'm working my way up there. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're by yourself, it's like, oh, what are other people thinking? Do they think I got stood up? Like,
totally.
It can be, I don't know, if you put that power again in the hands of other people, then it's so easy to stay in your head. But once you release that power and you believe in yourself and you get to know yourself and you compliment yourself and you stick up for yourself, like you're taking yourself out because you deserve it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you are prioritizing yourself as one of your best friends.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Me too.
Okay, we gave you a lot of strategies in this episode. So we want to hear from you. We want to know what you're going to try. And you can even send us like pictures maybe of you.
Yeah,
if you go on a solo
date
or if you try any of these things, send us an email or a DM. We love, love, love hearing from you all.
Yep.
And I think that what can we do to challenge ourselves, Char? Maybe we can take to our stories and either compliment ourselves or...
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Like when we launch this episode on Wednesday, maybe we can put in a question box and say something that we're proud of about ourselves and then open the discussion for other people.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And then after you listen, let us know what you're going to try. And even if you catch the moments where you're perhaps not being a good friend to yourself, know that that's the work. That self-awareness that has to come before anything else.
Yep.
So even just catching the narrative, that's the work. That's the progress.
Yeah. It's not going to be fixed right away.
Correct. Correct.
Because practice makes permanent.
But you are worth it, friends.
Yes,
you are worth it. We love you.
Thank you so much for listening.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. We hope you love that episode of Stronger Together.
And if you did, can you please share it with your friends and your family and your neighbors?
Yes, help us get this out there so that we can connect with more people.
And guess what? Spotify allows you to rate now. So if you're listening on Spotify, can you please rate for us? And yes. Apple Podcasts lets you review. So review.
5 stars on Spotify and tell us what you love about the podcast. We are so happy that you're part of this community.
We love you.